Deuteronomy chapter 12. We have seen that, the death of Moses and how the leadership of Israel was passed on to Joshua. And Joshua was a man who served or ministered to Moses for 40 years. And during that time, he was with Moses during many important events or happenings. He was on the mountain when Moses received the commandments and then went down the mountain when the people made the golden calf. He went into the tabernacle with Moses when God spoke to Moses face to face. He was there for a lot. And what he did see was he saw the faithfulness of Moses, he saw the obedience of Moses to God, and that how he carried out the commands of God. So now Joshua has the responsibility and the privilege to lead God's people into the promised land and the rest that was promised to them. Not the rest of the things, but rest. God promised them rest. So in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth." Now, Deuteronomy was written, and it's right at the end of Moses' life, and he knows that he's not going into the promised land at this point, but he knows that he has to instruct them one last time to remind them of all that they need to do to be successful. So he says, "Observe to do in the land which God is giving them, all the statutes and judgments." He said, "Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, and your households wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." So he's telling them quite a bit here, observe to do all the statutes, utterly destroy all the high places of the idolatry, and then rejoice in the Lord God that blessed thee. Pretty good. Then he says, "For year, let's see, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." You're not supposed to follow the fads and the trends of the world and all, and you're not supposed to do things that are right in your eyes, but they're to measure against the statutes and judgments of God. "For you're not as yet come into the rest and into the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you." See, up to this point in Egypt, they didn't have rest, did they? They were slaves and they were, labored hard. And then they were in the wilderness without a home and they wandered. And again, they didn't really have any rest, but God promised them that they would come into this promised land and have rest. "But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and where he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you may dwell in safety," or safely, safety. "Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So God would choose the place where they would bring all their stuff, where they would come to worship him. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. And he says, take heed to thyself that thou offer not burnt offerings in every place that thou goest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer burnt offerings, and thou shalt do all that I command thee. So that's a pretty strong thing there. That they're just supposed to do these things, and take care of these things. And they're supposed to go to the place where God told them to go. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 7. And again, Hebrews is written to who? Hebrews. But it's Hebrews, it was written and it's applicable to those that were Hebrews that are born again, Hebrews that were teetering, not on the fence, not sure, and Hebrews that were not born again yet to prove to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And in verse 7, it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and it's Joshua there, that's who it's referring to, Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, referring to what they did back in during the Exodus. For the word of God is quick and powerful. I'm not. Where am I? I lost my place. Here we go.
We're supposed to be in threes.
Yeah, I was reading four. Sorry.
I'm like,
okay, I'm supposed to be reading three. Four and three are right next to each other in my Bible.
No kidding.
Yeah, they are. And so I just went over to four instead of three. Sorry. Let's start over. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today,
What verse?
verse 7.
Seven. Okay.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That was that generation that had turned against God, when they were at Kadesh Barnea, and they said, well, wait, they sent the 12 spies in, and they came back, and Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, let's go in. God is going to fight our battle. And everybody else said, no, we're afraid. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we'll get destroyed. And they kind of went against Moses, and then God got angry, and then the people said, okay, we'll go in after the fact. And then Moses said, well, you better not go now because God's not with you. And they went in and they got beat up. So that's who this is talking about. He said that group of unbelieving people would not go into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You know, those Hebrews, those Israelites back in that day, they saw all those miracles and wonders, and God did everything he could for them, and they still hardened their hearts with unbelief. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by noses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear or have great reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, for being mixed with believing in them that heard it. You know, they heard the gospel, but they didn't believe it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So they had an evil heart of unbelief, and that's why they didn't enter into the rest. But God said that these people in Deuteronomy, they would go and they would have rest if they just believed him and watched over, you know, did what he said. So now we're going to go back to Joshua and pick it up where we left off last week. Remember, they were getting ready. And we're in chapter 3 of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. We left off there last time. You know, the guys had gone into Jericho, the spies, and they had met Rahab, and she had saved them, and they promised that she and her family would be saved. Mm-hmm. And then they came back and told Joshua. And chapter 3, verse 1, Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove your place and go after it. So what are they doing? The Ark carried the scrolls and the tablets. Mm-hmm. Of the tablets of stone, the word of God. And they were to physically follow the Ark of the Covenant into the river. So they said, you know, when you see the Ark, you get behind it and follow. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. 2,000 cubits would be about 3,000 feet, which would be 1,000 yards, 3 football fields, plus a little, no, more than that. But anyway, 1,000 yards. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Okay, so here he says, sanctify yourselves. You know, there's another place in Exodus, if you hold your place here and go to Exodus 19. He explains, you know, before God was going to speak to them from the mount, he said they were to sanctify themselves. So if you go to Exodus 19, verse 10, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain for or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Or don't bring your wives. Back to Joshua. So here in chapter 5, Joshua says unto the people, sanctify yourselves. So what does that mean? They're clean up. Get ready. Put on your Sunday best. Be ready to do this momentous thing that we're going to do. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So you're going to see great things happen, but God wanted them to sanctify themselves. He wanted them to get ready. And, you know, I guess the washing of clothes and the washing of themselves and stuff just brought to mind how important this was and how they were to be before God. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Wow. That they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So what a great promise God makes to Joshua. Mm-hmm. He says, I will magnify thee and I will be with thee as I was with Moses. And he was with Moses in a great way, wasn't he? Wherever Moses went, God took care of him. Whenever he sent him to do a job, he did exactly what he said he would do for him. You know, when he told him to put his staff in the Nile, it would turn to blood. It turned to blood, right? When he threw his staff down on the ground and it became a snake, it became a snake. When the magicians threw their staffs down, Moses' staff or snake ate their snakes. And so on. When they got out in the wilderness and they needed water, God gave them water out of a rock. When they needed food, the manna rained down from heaven for 40 years. And so on. So God says, sanctify the people, and the Lord will do wonders. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So he's giving them directions. He's saying, when you get there, stand still. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. So he's now going to do what? He's going to declare the word of God concerning this specific situation. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Jordan's a river, right? It's going to go into the river. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up in an heap. Okay, this water is running down, it's a river. And it happens to be, well, we're going to see, that it's the flood time. Now, rivers have cycles. It's kind of interesting. We've messed with the Mississippi River. But the Mississippi River every year would flood, and it would flood on the plains on both sides. And because it flooded for thousands of years, that soil on each side of the river was some of the richest farming soil in the world. Okay? And then, you know, men started messing with it, and they built dikes so it wouldn't flood because they wanted to build houses and have farms there, and they didn't want the farms flooded, and you know, that's what they did. But rivers are designed to flood. That's how they're made. That's how nature works. That's how they were supposed to do. And so here they're at the Jordan, and it's the time of the flood. We'll see that later. And God said, and Moses or Joshua says by revelation, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests step into the water, the water is going to stop coming down from above, from upriver. It's going to pile up in a heap, in a pile. And it came to pass. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they that bear the Ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, you know, the right at the edge, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It's a flood stage, right? So it's not just a normal river now, it's flood stage. It's wider, it's deeper, it's running faster. But verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam. That is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So what happened was the waters piled up in a heap, and then the rest of the river dried up because the river ran down to the Salt Sea, and when it didn't have any supply, it just got, was emptied. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, if you've ever been at a river, rivers are kind of muddy. And if, you know, for some reason or another, even after a flood, it takes days and weeks for the ground to dry up. But here it says, the water piled up in a heap, and the priests stood on dry ground, and the people passed over on dry ground. So not only did the water stop, but the ground immediately dried out so that they could walk across. They weren't walking in mud and slime. How great is that? It says, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So, you know, they passed in the midst, right through the middle, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them all over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. So what does God say? He's saying, get 12 guys, one guy out of each tribe. Okay. Each tribe. And then you're going to, they're going to get 12 stones out of the midst of the river. and bring it over to the other side where you're going to camp. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So they got 12 stones, one for each tribe. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? You know, what's the significance of these stones here? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. They were to be a memorial, a remembrance, a witness. And these are called the stones of witness. God did things to try to remind people to remember what he did for them. So, for instance, the Passover. The Passover was instituted so that Israel would never forget how God did miracles and signs and passed over Egypt. One of the Egyptians died, and yet Israel was spared and they were taken free. And every year at Passover, they were to remember this. They were to read the words of the book of the law where it talked about that. And they were to remember what God did for them. These stones were set up again to remind these people, this generation, these guys that came after that generation that came out of Egypt, and it was to remind them of how God delivered them and brought them across the river, and how he had dried it up so they could come across easily. And it was to be a memorial, a testimony, a witness unto the children of Israel for how long? Forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. A lot of commanding there. God commanded Moses, Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did the speaking and got it done. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. That's the guys that had already gotten their inheritance on the other side of the river. Remember, and they were to leave their women and children behind, and God said he would protect them while they went over with the other tribes to help fight and get rid of the Canaanites that were in the land. And about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, or respected him, revered him, as they revered Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua. You know, just like, remember, in Exodus and Numbers and, you know, Deuteronomy, God spoke to Moses, and God spake to Moses, and God said this to Moses. Well, here he's speaking to Joshua, because Joshua is his guy, his man. He's got that spirit, and he's obedient. So the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, verse 16, command the priests that hear, that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan, And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. It's kind of interesting because some people, they examine this and they try to explain what happened. So I think I read one thing where a guy said there was a landslide up above by Adam, that city it mentions, and it blocked off the water. And then slowly the water built up, and by the time the Israelites came over, it came over and overflowed, and the water came back again. You know, they make these excuses. But what did God do? He did it. So if there was a landslide, well, who caused the landslide? God did.
Right.
And how long did it take for that water to build up and get over? Enough time for the Israelites and the priests to get across and do all the things that God told them. So it doesn't matter what people say or how they try to explain it. It's still miraculous. What God did, God did. He said the water would pile up in a heap, and that's what it did.
Right. He commands the creation.
And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. I mean, he piled them up, he set them up. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Wow, what a great witness. What a great thing. Chapter 5. So that's the stones of witness. What a great thing. The Lord magnified Joshua, just like he told him. And so the people reverenced or respected him, just as they respected Moses. And God did all that he said he would do for Moses. And Moses was obedient to God and did exactly what he said. Chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard. Okay, now if you understand, if you were to look at a map, when you look at a map, north is at the top, right? And the Jordan River comes down from the Sea of Galilee and it runs down to the Dead Sea. And to the right is the east. You know, that's where Arabia and Persia and different, you know, Midian, all those things, the wilderness. To the left, you would go across Jordan to the west, and then eventually you'd get to the Mediterranean Sea. So they came in from the east, from the wilderness, and they crossed the Jordan to the west, and that's where Jericho was. So when the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. You know, they heard about this. Remember what Rahab said? Rahab had told the spies, we heard about the Red Sea and all that God did to Egypt, and we've been afraid and fearful for 40 years. Uh-huh. Now these guys hear about this and their hearts melt. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Wow. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins, because there were a lot of foreskins and it made a hill.
Mind picture.
And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done the circumcising of all the people that abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. So these are all the young men that are going to fight the battles, and he had to circumcise them because they had to be, right according to the law of Moses, of what God had told him and Abraham. So he had to circumcise them before they could go to war. But when he did that, then they had to hang around a few days till they healed up so that they weren't weak and sickly. So he did that. They waited and they became whole. It says that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, till they healed up. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the word Gilgal means rolled away. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow. After they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So, you know, manna came down when they needed it. It lasted for 40 years. And then when it got to the land of Canaan, where there was plenty of food to eat, it stopped just like that. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You know, he sees this guy standing there, and he looks like a warrior, and he's got a sword in his hand. He says, are you for us or them? Is you is or is you ain't? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. He's the captain of the host of the Lord. That means he's the general in charge of God's army. That's what that means. I am the captain of the host of the Lord am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And you notice Lord is in lowercase, because it's a different word than the one up above. The one up above, Lord in capital letters, is Jehovah, and the Lord, I believe, and the lower one is Adonai. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so, just exactly like Moses. Just like Moses. He did the same thing for Joshua. He did it for Moses. He did for Joshua. What a cool thing. He took care of him. He instructed him. And I guess this was probably an angel. Now, chapter 6 goes on, but, you know, Joshua is listening to God and speaking for God, and he's obedient to God. He's just a great man of God. He's got the Spirit of God. He's obedient. He believes, and he speaks for God, and God speaks to him. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Sealed up tight as a drum. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He says, I give it to you all. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. This is a great military strategy. Mm-hmm. He says, you'll take the army and you'll march all the way around the city one time, and you'll do it for 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And on this, and the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Wow, what a great strategy. That's better than an atom bomb. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear reward, or the rear guard, came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So on these 6 days they went around, the priests blew the horns, but the people were silent. They were absolutely silent. It didn't make a sound. That had to freak out the people of Jericho, because they had heard all the stories about what God had done to Egypt. And now they come here and they're just marching around. They're not doing anything. They're not even saying anything. In verse 12, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, the priest took up the ark of the covenant, and the 7 priests, hearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before him, but the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and the blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did 6 days. So they did exactly what God told them. Joshua gave them exactly what to do from God, and they did it. So, and it came to pass on the 7th day, verse 15, that they rose up early about dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And yea, in any wise, ye keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. The accursed thing has to do with the idolatry. You know, the idolatry that they had, you know, they all had idols. They had household idols. They had the idol of the city, whatever. So Joshua was saying, stay away from that accursed thing. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass or iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they were not to take any spoil. They were not to enrich themselves. The silver and gold and the vessels of iron and brass were to be given to God. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Remember back in Deuteronomy we read, what did God say? You will utterly destroy, right? Mm-hmm. So here, what are they doing? They're obeying. They're obeying. They were to utterly destroy, just like it said in Deuteronomy 12, they were to utterly destroy the high places of idolatry. They were to destroy all the people. And that's exactly what they did. Joshua had told them, and that's what they did. You know, now you may read, if you read about Jericho, they will say there's a fault that lies underneath Jericho.
There was an answer.
Right? Then there is a fault. You know, there's a, you know how what do they call it? The tectonic plates cross on the earth, underneath the earth. And when they move, they cause earthquakes, right? And they lift up and they lift down and they push up and everything. And so there is a major fault that lies under Jericho. That's great. However, they moved at exactly the exact moment that they did what God told them to do. Because he's the God of the heavens and the earth. And it all belongs to him and he controls it all. So when they marched around six times, nothing happened. When they marched around that the seven times on the seventh day and they stopped and they shouted, that's exactly when the walls fell down. That was the miracle. They believed, you know, because if it was just an earthquake and it would have happened anyway, what would the point of believing be? What would the point of listening to God be? But it happened exactly when God told him to do it and exactly how he told him to do it. So verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were the spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of God. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. And harlot means she was an innkeeper. She wasn't a prostitute, but she was an innkeeper. And actually in the NIV, they translated innkeeper. So Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, which means if any man goes to rebuild Jericho, his price will be the life of his firstborn son. And in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And when he sets the gates up, his youngest son will die. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And that's where we're going to stop. Yay! I don't want to start anymore because we'll get too involved. So Jericho was utterly destroyed, wiped out, because they were a godless, idol-worshipping people. You know, it wasn't because God is a mean God, but he knew that if these people remained, they would corrupt Israel. Remember how those Midianites went in, the women of Midian, and they got the guys to start worshiping their gods? So that's why. God is a merciful and loving God. These people, according to Rahab, had been living in fear for 40 years. They had plenty of time to decide to leave. If they were so afraid and they knew Israel was coming, they could have left, they could have moved, they could have migrated. But they didn't. They chose to stay there. And because they did, they paid the price. They reaped the benefit of their fears, knowing they were already defeated. So, but Joshua, he listened to God. He obeyed God. He carried out exactly what God told him to do, and the people, he was magnified. God magnified him in the eyes of the people. And so they reverenced him. They believed in him, and they did exactly what he said, and they got blessed, right? So that's where we're going to stop tonight.